Psalms chapter 35, as we begin to read in verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be a shaft for the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself unto that very destruction, let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. You may be seated this morning, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again, Lord, and that for all the wonderful blessings that you've given us. We thank you, and that for this day, as Father's Day. And Lord, I am very thankful for my father that you gave me. And Lord, I'm glad that him and my mother, and that raised me and my sister in church. And Lord, that brought me to salvation, and I thank you for that. Lord, we ask this morning that you'd help in this service. If there's somebody here lost, we pray that they'd get saved. And Lord, as I stand before you today, there's nothing I can do in myself. Lord, there's no power or strength in me, and I know that. And Lord, if you don't get the job done, I'm going to try my best. But Lord, if it don't get done, and Lord, it's going to be up to you and the power of the Holy Spirit to get this work done, because I realize there's nothing in me. And Lord, we just pray this morning this will be the message for the hour. I believe this is it. And Lord, I pray some folk would get some help from it. And Lord, if there's one here lost, I pray that you might save them. And Lord, I ask now that you'd help us preach. And Lord, we just thank you so much for Calvary. Lord, we certainly stand in need of you. Save that sinner's nearest tale. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. We look in the book of Psalms, chapter 35, in this passage of Scripture, we find that David is praying for the Lord to come and fight for him. Now, as I was praying late last night after I'd studied all this, and as I was praying and dwelling upon it, the Lord began to show me something about this passage of Scripture. David was a man that knew how to fight. I mean, one of the first things that we ever see in David's life is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he has been out there in that guarding his father's sheep. And we know that Samuel calls him in and anoints him king at that time. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you find out that David goes out and fights Goliath. And prior to that, David told King Saul over there, when Saul told him that he couldn't go out and fight, he said there was a bear and a lion come in, and he said and stole a sheep out, and he said, I grabbed him by the beard, and I slew him. So David, even prior to chapter 17, knew how to fight. If you read about David's whole life, that is the reason that God would not allow David and that to build the temple, because he had bloody hands, and he was a man of war, and he knew about how to fight. But yet in this chapter, in chapter 35, David begins to plead with the Lord and asked him to come and fight for him. Now, I found that amazing that David needed God to come and fight. When he faced Goliath, he goes out there with 5 smooth stones in his shepherd's bag, a staff, and a sling. And he goes out and tells Goliath, that uncircumcised Philistine, the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. And let me say today that the life that we live as a Christian is a fight. You need to understand that. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So the Apostle Paul and that realized that it was a fight. And listen today, I think a lot of us want to believe that our Christian life should be a bed of roses and everything should go easy and things should just fall in our lap. But friend, I'm going to tell you, it's a battle sometimes, and that in our Christian life, because of the adversary. But number one this morning, I want you to look with me in verse one. He says, plead my cause, O Lord, with him that strive with me, and fight against them that fight against me. Number one today, let me say, he wanted the Lord to see the strife that was taking place. He wanted God to look down from heaven and see what he was going through. Listen, he said, there are those that fight against me. You know, there's going to be people and adversaries fight against you. Listen, we do have a great adversary, don't we? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to understand something. If you give the devil, and I've preached on this here before, but if you give the devil an inch, he'll take 10 miles, and he'll end up in your head, and try to get in your heart, before it's over with. Do you know that if the devil could get into your life and into your family's life and into this church's life, he would destroy it and wreak havoc and do all that he could to destroy each of us. He's after you today, and you and I must understand that we have a great adversary that's chasing after us. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. That devil is going to try to chase you down. Just as that lion does. You know, that lion waits and hides, don't he? I mean, he does. He waits and hides, and he waits off. And by the way, you know where he hides at, don't you? Don't he hide around the watered hole? Do you know that the devil is not concerned with lost people? He already owns them. He's already got them. He has nothing to do to try to destroy them. They're already doing it themselves. And friend, he wants to get you today. He's after you. He's after your marriage. He's after your home. He's after your children. He wants you today. So we know that the lion hides around the watering hole. And then the first thing he does is begins to pick off those that are sick and weakly, don't he? And we've preached on that many times over the years, but that's who the devil is after. Luke chapter 22, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible to remember what the Lord told to Simon over there. He said, Simon, Simon, he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And that's what the devil wants to do. If he can get in your mind and in your heart, he'll begin to destroy and begin to work on you. Can I tell you today that the devil is not afraid of a good fight? He's not. He loves to fight. As a matter of fact, I've been watching some things there. I've watched just a few. I've been watching some pitchers when they hit the batters in baseball. And you ever watch them do that? And they'll take that hat off and sling it down on the ground and they'll charge the mound and they're ready to fight. You know, by the time they get out there, they might hook one or two good swings, and before it's over with, they're all piled up on the ground and nobody's a fight and they're just getting dirty. That's all they're doing. Amen. But you know, when the devil comes by and he begins to swing, he's going to hook up if we ain't careful. And so we find right here that David wanted the Lord to come and fight. We have an adversary in Satan, but let me tell you this. You may have an adversary on your job. You may have an adversary in your family. You may have an adversary with your neighbor. And I'm going to tell you what they'll do sometimes. I've worked on a public job when men knew that I was a preacher and knew that I pastored. And some of them will just want to push your buttons to get the better of you. And so you just have to make sure that they can't do that. Listen, he told us in Ephesians 6, as he told us to put on the whole armor of God, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But David needed more than that, if you'd let me say that today. He said, Lord, he said, with them, he said, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me and fight against them that fight against me. He said, Lord, I want you to come and fight. I want you to see what's going on in my life, and I want you to take charge of it. David knew that he couldn't fight this battle. He was going to have some help. You know, there are just sometimes there's going to be some battles that we're not going to be able to fight, and we're going to have to hide in the Lord. And so that brings me to verse 2. I want you to see what he said. He said, Lord, he said, fight against them. See the strife that's going on. But then he says, stand up and act with your shield. He said, take hold of the shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. You know what that shield is? That shield is either about 18 inches around, and they wore it on their left arm, and that thing was to deflect blows that might come or missiles that was shot at them. As a matter of fact, the Bible said over in the book of Ephesians 6, where it talked about the whole armor of God, he talked about the shield of faith. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, where you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so he said, you got to carry the shield. But you know, they not only made them little round shields, but they also made a shield that was 4 foot high. Is that 4 foot high? I'm a little long, ain't I? Is that about right? 4 foot high and about 18 to 2 foot wide. Now, I need a little more than 2 foot, but you know what they made that for? They made that for so that in the midst of battle, they could take that thing and they could crouch down behind that thing and they were protected all the way around. I believe that's what David is asking for right here. He's not asking for an 18-inch shield. He's asking for that thing that stands about 4 foot high and something that he can hide behind and get in. While the Lord does the battle, he can hide. Hey, I'm going to tell you, baby, sometimes I just want to hide in him. I want him to hide me and from the battle. I want him to take me and just shield me and put me up on a high spot. What was it David said in 2 Samuel 22? The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. David said, I'll run unto the Lord. Psalms 28 and verse 7, the psalmist said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am happy. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. He is tired. I believe he's wore out. There are those that are against him more than he knows what to do. Right here in chapter 35. And he says, Lord, I want you to stand up and act with your shield and be my help. I want you to come and fight for me, but I want you to shield me from everything that the enemy is doing. Can I ask you something this morning? Is that where you're at? Maybe in a battle, to where you're just... you say, preacher, you don't know anything about my life. I understand that. I don't know anything about your life, probably. But let me say this morning. I do know that Christians get in battles and they get in fights. And they scrap with the devil. And boy, we battle with our adversary. And I'm going to be honest with you, we get weak in the faith a lot of times if we're not careful. You ever run into people, and I love them to death. And I just wonder if it's me. I really do. I just wonder if it's me sometimes. I mean, it's like they never have a problem in the world. I mean they're living in the clouds so high. And I love the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I love Him. And He's blessed me beyond whatever I could ever imagine above what I could ever think. Well, man, I'm going to tell you, sometimes the battle gets hot and raging. I'm thinking to myself, man, did they get something that I ain't got? But then when I begin to read scripture like this of a man that was a man of war, and that was a bloody man and a man that knew how to fight. Here he asked God to come and help. Even the most spiritual, and we'll look at some of that tonight maybe. Even the most spiritual, friend, I'm going to tell you, no matter how spiritual you perceive yourself to be and how much you know you are, there's going to come a fight and there's going to come times where we're going to cry out and ask God to fight for us and shield us from the battle. Psalms 91, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. This message started out just to be about the shield, as a matter of fact. And the more I studied, and the Lord led me to Psalms 35, I found that there was a great battle that takes place. I'm glad he is my shield, and he'll protect me from all those things some days. You know, sometimes the Lord wants us to fight. But you know, there are just times that He'll hide us in His shield. And He'll put us in a resting place. And He'll take that worry away. Ain't you glad He can take worry away? But you got to trust in Him to get that worry took away. Amen? You got to trust in Him. Listen, that He's going to do it. But He wanted the Lord in that to stand up. He wanted the Lord to stand up and be seen. Now get that right there. He said, take hold of His shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. He wanted folk to see that God was on His side. You get that? He wanted, hey listen, imagine when He goes to fight Goliath. Imagine that. I mean, one of the very first times that we find the battle that David gets. As a matter of fact, when David is coming down there to the battle, the Bible says he's coming down there with all that cheese and wine and all those things that Jesse had seen. He said he looked out over there and he seen them fighting, and the Bible said he shouted for the battle. I mean, he was a man that loved to fight. You follow me? Are you just catching on? But here's a man that loved to fight. That needed help. You know, you'll find the time, I believe it's in 2 Samuel. I preached on this years ago, when David the giant killer needed some help. And you'll find the time when Goliath's four brothers was coming in against him. And David went out to fight, and he got weak and he got tired while he was fighting, and he almost got taken in battle. And they had to come to David's rescue. I'm going to tell you, there just comes a time, if we're not careful, the adversary will pull out all his stops against us, and we're going to find ourselves like David, wanting to be hid and bad in him. Then he said in verse 3, he said, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me, saying to my soul, I am thy salvation. He said, I want you to stand up with your spear. I want folk to be able to see what you're doing. I want folk to be able to see that it's you that is on my side. It's going to take care of him. But then he said, I want you to stop them with your spear. He says, Lord, I want you to not only fight, but I want you to draw that spear back. And I want you to stop this thing. I want you to go out there and I want you to conquer all of them. He says, draw out your spear. And stop the way against them that persecute me. He says, Lord, I want you to go out there, and I want you to fight, and I want you to put a stop to it. You know, when the Lord comes to fight, there'll be a stop put to it. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, whether it's your adversary is in the devil, him that's going to sift you, or maybe it is somebody on the job or in your family or your neighbor, whoever it may be, listen, friend, when the Lord shows up, He'll bring it to a stop. He'll bring it to a stop. I'm determined that sometimes we get in the battle and that thing gets hot and raging, and the Lord's just waiting on us to cry out and say, Lord, would you bring your shield and shield me and hide me in all this? I'm going to tell you, there's things that, and I hate that word things because it's so broad and it's used so much. But there's just times and certain things that we go through, that affect us physically and mentally and spiritually. I'll tell you, I fight him here a lot of times. I hate the devil. Hate my adversary. But you know the thing about this, he hates me too. And he hates you this morning. And so he says, Lord, I not only want you to fight with them that fight against me, I not only want you to bring your shield and put it to where I can be shielded and be hid in you and set in you and be in the right, but I want you to get your spear out and stop them that are against me. He wanted his persecutors to see the Lord's greatness. He wanted the power of God and that to be used against them. Sometimes in a battle, when it comes to an end, you really just want to stick your tongue out and go, nah, nah, nah. See, I told you all the time, Lord was on my side. And I won't say that to the adversary sometimes, but I know how great He is. I know how great He is. Listen, He's not somebody that I can take on. Amen. By myself. You cannot holler boo at Him. You cannot tell Him to run and Him run away. You cannot tell Him that He's greater than you. But friend, there is one that is greater than us, that is inside of us today. Amen. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Hey, listen, Christ Jesus lives in us if you're saved today. And He's greater than your adversary. How did Christ Jesus defeat the devil in Matthew chapter 4? Matthew 3, Jesus is baptized of John out in Bethabara, out in the wilderness. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And he's baptized out there. And the Lord told John, he said, "The one that you see come, the Spirit descend as a dove and remaineth upon him." That's him. That's him. God opened and rolled back the heavens out of where those that were around could hear and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And we get to verse or chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. And you know the very first thing that the devil done, "If thou be the Son of God." That was the question. What did Matthew 3 say? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Hey, it was no accident that Satan said, "If thou be the Son of God, do this." Take your Bible and go to Matthew 4. Look at Matthew 4. We're talking about how the Lord defeated Satan. I think we can take a great example from this. Matthew 4. Matthew 3 verse 17. "Lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry." He was at a very weak place physically, wasn't he? And when the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God," there's the question. He said, "Command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So Jesus said the very first thing, "It is written." I believe you find where "it is written" is in the book of Deuteronomy. And so the Lord said, "You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Verse 5. "Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God," there's the question again. You know, listen, if you don't think that the devil will question your sonship and your daughtership in the family of God, you're crippled too high for crutches. I mean, he is challenging the very Son of God right here and saying, "If you're the Son of God." Now, if you don't think he'll come by and do you the same way, you're sorely mistaken, and he's going to beat you to death. "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Now notice what the devil done. Jesus come back with him in Scripture. So the second time the devil comes, he comes with Scripture of his own. You'll find that over in the book of Psalms chapter 91, I believe it is. And so we find that the devil, and by the way, he leaves part of that out. You know, the devil's good for that. He'll either leave something out or put something in it. Yes. But the question was, "If thou be the Son of God," he said, "then cast yourself down." And he says, "If you cast yourself down, then they're going to bear thee up." Verse 7, "And Jesus said unto him, It is written again." So he goes back to Scripture. What is the Word of God called? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Ephesians chapter 6 said, "And take what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Right? Is that not what we fight with? He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 8, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan." What's it say? "For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Where did he draw his strength from? Well, the Scripture didn't. You know, some of you are weak and anemic this morning in the battle. You don't read your Bible. You don't draw in that from Scripture to be able to fight. You know why you can't get hid in God this morning from the battle? You're not reading the Scripture. He said, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. As a matter of fact, was it in the book of Luke over there that it tells us that he left him for a season? For a season. So when the Lord comes to stand up for us, He's going to do it in Scripture, isn't He? He said, draw out thy spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. So number four, the psalmist David wanted his soul and that to know that the Lord was his salvation. He knew that the Lord was going to allow him to win. He knew that the Lord was going to save him, and that from the battle that he was in. He said, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Hey, listen, I believe David wasn't hearing that. I don't believe David was getting that from the Lord. And he said, Lord, I want you to see the strife. I want you to be my shield. I want you to get the spear. But I want you to help my soul to know that you're my salvation. You are going to save me from all of this. You get hot in the battle, it grows dark, and you wonder if you're ever going to come out of it. You wonder if you're ever going to be saved out of that battle and out of that fight. And I believe that's where David's at. David sees bad. That's all he sees is he sees bad. He sees the enemy. He sees the persecutor. And if we read on down through here, look at what he said. He said, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. He said, they're seeking after me. They're devising my hurt. He said, let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let them be chaff of the wind. He said, let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute. He said, man, he said, let the angel of the Lord chase them. And he said, let the angel of the Lord persecute them. He said, Lord, go out there and beat the fire out of them. Amen. Because I am tired of dealing with this. He said, for without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. He said, let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he had hid catch himself unto that very destruction, into that very destruction, let him fall. He said, Lord, what they've used against me, he said, turn it against them and let it catch them. He said, let their, you know what they've said against me, turn against them. He said, let the pit that they dug and the nets that they've set catch me up in all them. David, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever prayed for the Lord. I prayed for him to take care of my adversary. But David is praying against his enemies right here. He really is. Lord, they're out to get me and let them be caught. And David wanted them took care of. And I'm glad the Lord can handle that. I think one thing we could pray today against our adversaries is if they're not saved, Lord, why don't you save them? Lord, would you deal with their heart? Get them saved. You know, the Lord tells us over at one point, you know, He said, pray for them that use you, despitefully use you. But David right here, he wanted the Lord to chase them down. But I want you to look at something right here in verse 9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. I think your soul had lost its joy. Now I know sin can cause that. You know, he said in Psalms 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And if you're saved, listen, there's joy of salvation down on the inside. But I'm going to tell you, when the adversary comes and you just get beat on him, listen, your rejoicing will tend to stop a lot of times. Your joy tends to go away. And David realized that his soul needed to be joyful, and there needed to be rejoicing in the Lord's salvation. Let me ask you today, has the battle robbed you joy and took your rejoicing away? It can. It can take it away. When you're in a constant battle and a constant fight, and there's never no peace. You ever been around folk that their home is just in turmoil? Maybe you work with somebody that way. I mean, they shared with you some things, or maybe you picked up on some things that was in their home just by listening to them talk. And they have no joy in their home. And when there's no joy in the home, there's really no joy in the life. And when it gets like that, folk don't want to go home. You ever been around folk that would do anything rather than go home? You ever seen folk like that? They won't do anything but go home because home is not joyful. And I say this, even kids pick up on that. Even children pick up on that. When home is not joyful, they want to be somewhere else. There was a lady who told me one time, she told me how she was raised, and her dad worked and her mom didn't. And she said, "Mom, during the summer when we didn't go to school," she said, we loved to go to school because that got us out of the house. And she said, but my mother would sleep all day long. I don't know if she peeled up and what she done. She never did really say that. She said she would get ready right about an hour before my dad came in from work. She would get up, put her makeup on, get ready, put her clothes on, and then she would go in there and start cooking like she's been up all day. And she said, but she lay in bed all day, and she said, me and my brother would get out and we would stay gone all day long. She said, I would fix us something to eat and take with us, and we'd just ride our bicycles as far as we could and get out of the house. That's a shame. Now, we done it because we wanted to play, and we done it because they kicked us out and locked the door behind us and told us not to come back until they hollered for us. That's why we did it. Because they made us. Amen. But listen, she wanted to get out. Why? Because home was not a good place to be. I'm going to tell you, children, pick up on that. I know I'm not preaching on dads today, but listen, moms and dads, your children pick up on that. But you know, when you're in the midst of this battle and fighting your adversary, It robs you of your joy if you don't keep your eyes upon the Lord. And I believe David was really, I believe he was, his joy and his rejoicing was really taken from him because of this battle right here. You may be in a battle that is beyond you. And let me say this today, if you're fighting against the Lord, you're going to lose, by the way. I mean, you need to come, at least if you're fighting against him, you need to get right with him. Just quit rebelling and quit being stubborn and get right and serve him. And it'll be great. It'll be good at that point. But if you're fighting against him in salvation, let me tell you, you're going to lose every time. You just need to come get saved this morning. But you may be in the midst of a battle and in the midst of a fight that is beyond you. And you don't see no way out and it's so dark. You can't say, I'm going to tell you, you need to cry out to the Lord and he can help. Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would, across the house. I don't know what kind of fight, what kind of battle you're in today. But I want you to know the Lord wants to help you. David, a man that knew how to fight, was asking God to come and hide him and fight for him. And maybe that's where you find yourself at this morning. It's beyond you. And you can't do it. We couldn't do it without him anyway, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that it's beat on you so much, it's about to beat you down. Friend, he can take you and he can hide you in his pavilion and in his hiding place today. I don't know you need. You may be lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to come and get saved. But you may be battling and you may be fighting today. And I want you to come. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. As we pray, if you need to come during the prayer, you come. During the song, you come. Whatever your need is. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help this morning during this invitation. You know the need of folk that are here today. There may be folk in a great battle, Lord, that is beyond them seeing what you can do. And the adversary is standing against them, the great adversary. And Lord, they just need some rest from the battle. They're needing you to see the strife. They're needing you to shield them and bring your spear and give joy unto their soul. Lord, and I pray you'd do that today. I pray you'd help us. We need you. Lord, I pray that you'd just help that one that's struggling today in the battle. And you know their need. Lord, let them come and find some help. Help during this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray.